Appeal and suggestions to conference officers. Preaching not sufficient. Personal work of utmost importance. He preaches to the people, but makes no after effort to follow up the sermons given. He said he could not visit families, that he just despised that kind of labor. You can imagine the condition of a flock unvisited by the shepherd. I have repeatedly had this matter presented before me, that the men who are ordained to preach the word should be educated to make full proof of their ministry in their personal labors in families, talking with the members of the family, understanding their spiritual condition, encouraging, reproving with all long-suffering and doctrine, praying with them, binding up his interest with their hearts and souls. This is the work of a faithful shepherd. But there have been solemn duties neglected in accepting ministers to labor in word and doctrine who can only preach. They do not watch for souls as they that shall give an account. They sermonize, but the work is left undone which the sheep and lambs need to have done for them. And this half-hearted kind of work has been done all through America, and money paid to men employed when they should have been dismissed to find work less responsible and caretaking. In sending men to foreign fields, let there be great caution used. Those who have been accepted as preachers and have not been educated to watch for souls as they that must give an account are not the men to enter new fields as missionaries. If there is any corner of the world where churches can be built up and kept in a prosperous condition by sermonizing, while they neglect personal labor, I have yet to learn of this. Men who are accepted to preach and not to minister should not go into foreign countries. Better have one thorough shepherd who will care for the flock as a faithful shepherd should, than to have 20 sermonizers who will excuse themselves, saying, "It is not in my line to visit. I cannot visit the church and their families." Then let there not be a moment's hesitation in telling them, "We do not propose to accept you and give you credentials. You cannot labor. But educate yourself to do a shepherd's work, to care for the sheep and lambs, and you will not be like Ephraim, a cake unturned. You will give full proof of your ministry." Those who can only preach are not missionaries, and never can be, until they learn the skill, the watchful, tender compassion of a shepherd. The flock of God have a right to expect to be visited by their pastor, to be instructed, advised, counseled in their own homes. And if a man fails to do this part of the work, he cannot be a minister after God's order. The churches that have such labor are disorganized, weak, and sickly, and ready to die. The sermons are not vitalized by the Spirit of God, because the blessing of God will not rest upon any man who is neglecting the flock of God. It is in the labor out of the pulpit, among families, that the richest and most valuable experience is gained, and that the minister learns how he can feed the flock of God, giving to each his portion of meat in due season. If there is a backslider, the shepherd knows how to present the truth in such a manner that the soul will be convicted. He will leave the 99 and seek the lost sheep. But if the shepherd does not visit his flock, he knows not their condition. He knows not what truths to set before them, nor what is appropriate to their case. And more than this, as the preacher manifests so little interest in the souls under his charge, he cannot set an example to the flock to have an interest and love and watch care for souls. Everything is at loose ends. His work is strongly mixed with self and is not bound off, but left to ravel out. And because of those neglects, you often hear, "I do not have success in bringing souls into the church." The Lord cannot work for those who are unfaithful, who neglect their manifest duty, the most important part of a shepherd's duty. Should the Lord move upon the hearts of the sinners and they become converted, who will watch for them as one who must give an account? Who will visit them? Who will strengthen the diseased and the feeble ones? The truth, if presented to those of our faith and outsiders, should be as it is in Jesus. See with what love, tender sympathy, and perseverance he labored. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. This spirit should be with all the laborers. Better, far better, have fewer preachers and far more earnest, humble, God-fearing workers. We are laborers together with God. Now it is highly essential that men be the right kind of laborers, for they are molding the churches to do as the preacher does. They feel that it is the right way to have just as little interest in the prosperity of their brethren and sisters in the church as the minister has given them an example in their way of laboring. They may raise up churches, but they will always be weak and inefficient and unreliable. Such kind of work at such an expense will not pay. After they have become dyed in the wool, it is not easy to transform such men. A slack, shiftless, irresponsible shepherd will lose more sheep than he will gather in. It will require more earnest labor to counteract the mold given such people organized into a church than to raise up new churches. For the members seem to have no right and just ideas of doing anything, or in bearing any responsibilities in building up a healthful, growing church. If there are good, sensible men who can speak the word of life and then follow up their labor with personal instruction, they are needed everywhere. Mrs. E. G. White, Melbourne, Australia, March 12, 1892.